Hi, guys. Jason Agnew here from Sunday Night's Main Event. Appreciate you downloading. Appreciate you listening each and every week. And if you can do us a favor and just give the show a rating in your podcatcher on iTunes. I mean, 5 stars would be great, but I don't want to tell you what to do. It would just be nice if we managed to get the ratings up. And if we do that, more people listen. That's awesome. Okay, here we go into this week's show.
And all of these neurologists, every specialist, every doctor I've seen has said the same thing, and it is this. You are cleared.
This is Sunday Night's Main Event.
In clear violation of the law.
With Jason Agnew.
I have a microphone, and I can be louder than each and every one of you.
On TSN Radio.
I'm not finished with you!
WrestleMania's on the move. Kenny proves he's hard to kill, and it's time for a Sunday night trip to the dentist. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event, coming at you across Canada on the TSN Radio Network. My name is Jason Agnew, and as always, it's been a busy week in the world of wrestling and MMA, and we'll do our best to recap and run it all down for you on tonight's show. First up, I'll break down all the news of the week and then go even more in-depth when I'm joined by the editor of the Wrestling Observer Newsletter, Dave Meltzer. Then in hour two, I'll be joined by my midweek markout co-host Mark Andrada to take a look back at some very repetitive WWE TV and more development in the AEW Impact Wrestling angle. We've also got match number two in the second round of the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament, but in our main event tonight, it's time for a Sunday night's main event dental checkup, as we'll be joined by the host of The Waiting Room, Dr. Britt Baker. The dentist character was one of the most talked about gimmicks on our Best Of show a couple weeks back, and I chat with Britt about who decided to flip her from a babyface to a heel, the evolution of the dentist character, working with Tony Schiavone, and more importantly, what it's like to be living with someone that you're in a Wednesday night war against. All of that is to come, but first, let's get you caught up with the week in wrestling news.
And now, your wrestling roundup on Sunday night's main event.
Well, I thought this was going to be a rather mild news week, and then yesterday happened with a ton of news coming out of Impact, of course, with their show last night, and WWE dropping a bit of a scheduling bomb as well. So let's get to Hard to Kill. Here's a couple newsworthy notes from the show for those of you that didn't watch the event. First of all, in the main event, the AEW champion Kenny Omega pinned the Impact Wrestling champion Rich Swann to finish their six-man tag team match, which looks to be setting up an AEW versus Impact Wrestling championship match at some point, perhaps the next pay-per-view. A few more noteworthy events from last night's show. Kira Hogan and Tasha Steelz defeated Havoc and Nevia to win the Knockouts Tag Team Championship Tournament. X Division Champion Manic defeated Chris Bay and Rohit Raju to retain the title, but now he swapped out his mask for face paint. By the way, if you don't know, Manic is TJP. Knockouts champion Deonna Purrazzo defeated Taya Valkyrie to retain her title, and the former Zack Ryder, a.k.a. Matt Caradona, made his Impact Wrestling debut by defeating Ace Austin by DQ. Impact also debuted their new commentary team of Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown. This duo replaced Josh Matthews and Madison Rain. Rain has left wrestling for another industry, and Matthews was promoted to senior producer with the company. Stryker and D'Lo are the new weekly commentary team for the company. Now, Impact also announced Rebellion 2021 will be their next pay-per-view. It's taking place on Saturday, April 24th. The logo of the event features the Omega symbol, but I'm curious to see if they can hold off on Omega versus Swan more than 3 months. Alex Shelley missed the main event on the card, but has posted a message saying he does not have COVID-19, but is currently unable to travel due to health issues. As unfortunate as that is, it worked out nicely for Moose, who, much to Dan Labransky's chagrin, had a great showing in the main event last night. Perhaps the best Moose has looked. Period. WrestleMania is on the move, folks. In a news parody video posted on WWE's YouTube page featuring Triple H, Stephanie McMahon, Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman, Sasha Banks, and even John Cena, WWE announced this year's WrestleMania will once again be a two-night event and will take place on April 10th and April 11th. The show will take place from Tampa Bay's Raymond James Stadium, which was the original location of last year's show, which of course had to be moved to the Performance Center. In coordination with local partners and government officials, the company will announce ticket availability and safety protocols for WrestleMania 37 in the coming weeks. Information on additional WrestleMania week events is forthcoming, so said WWE. Now, along with that, WWE also announced that next year's Mania will take place at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas on Sunday, April 3rd, 2022. And then WrestleMania 39 will take place at the SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California on Sunday, April 2nd, 2023. In Wednesday Night War news, well, the real news, hurt ratings once again. Dynamite won the night with an average of 762,000 viewers to NXT's 551,000. And don't count on things getting better this week with Joe Biden's inauguration happening this Wednesday. Who knows what is going to happen? And people will most likely be tuned to the CNNs and Foxes of the world as opposed to the wonderful world of pro wrestling. This past week on NXT, we saw the debut of Impact's former Rascals tag team, but they are under the name MSK. The duo got their first win in the Dusty Classic tournament. Now, this upcoming week, we'll see WWE double down on tag team tournaments with the start of the Women's Dusty Classic. Toni Storm and Mercedes Martinez versus Casey Canzaro and Caden Carter will be the first match. The other two announced teams in the tournament are Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, as well as Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon. I'll talk more about the WWE's repetitive booking style in the second hour with Mark Andrada. Looking ahead to Wednesday night on the AEW side of things, due to a family member testing positive for COVID-19, Nyla Rose is off Wednesday's episode of Dynamite as a precautionary measure. She was supposed to be taking on Layla Hirsch. Chris Jericho continues to make waves outside the ring. On the most recent edition of his podcast, Jericho said he had COVID-19 in September? Jericho made the admission during an interview with Dr. Alex Patel, saying he had zero symptoms but got a test just to get one. He said it wasn't a false positive as he had three tests and they all came back positive. He didn't specify whether those were AEW-administered tests. He also didn't give any information on how he believed he got it, nor the time frame in which he had it and was cleared. Of course, we saw on Monday night Drew McIntyre tested positive for COVID-19. He is experiencing minor symptoms. And along with that, Dave Meltzer reported that at least three more talent from the roster also tested positive and are quarantining. Names have yet to be released, but, you know, take a look at who was and wasn't there this week and you get a pretty good idea. Unrelated, Michelle McCool, former WWE performer and wife of The Undertaker, revealed she has tested positive for COVID-19 as well. Kofi Kingston, however, did not test positive for COVID-19. He legitimately suffered a jaw injury. It was reported Monday night on Raw that his jaw was broken. Now, that has yet to be confirmed, but he is experiencing a problem where only half his jaw will close. So there is some sort of injury there. Broken, we don't know. Mick Foley gave us an update on how he's feeling after testing positive for COVID last month. He wrote, "Many of you have been asking how I'm feeling after my positive COVID test. All in all, not too bad, but I get fatigued very easily and my head still feels a little cloudy. Please take this pandemic seriously. The daily death count is staggeringly high and climbing. Hashtag mask up." It was confirmed this week that the premiere episode of Dark Side of the Ring's third season will be focused on the career and passing of Brian Pillman. Steve Austin revealed the news on a podcast Thursday, adding that he was interviewed for it. If you remember back previous to his Stone Cold days, Austin was a Hollywood blonde in WCW with Brian Pillman. No air date has been set as of yet for the new season. NBC has announced a debut date for their new sitcom series Young Rock, which focuses on three different younger stages of the life of Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Check out the Twitter, our Twitter, at SNME Radio. I retweeted the trailer there. The series will debut on February 16th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern. Notice that's a Tuesday night, which does not interfere with any WWE property. The series is set to have an 11-episode run for its first season. And finally, over to the world of MMA, just for one note here. Dana White claimed last night on UFC TV that Khabib Nurmagomedov is sitting at home, and if someone impresses him, he'll be ready. So, I mean, take that with a grain of salt, considering it's coming out of Dana White's mouth. However, more interestingly, Sportsnet's Tim and Sid had GSP on this week and played him a clip of Dana White saying that if Khabib said he'd only come back with a fight with GSP, then he, Dana, would have to get to work. GSP was completely caught off guard by this clip. He seemed excited. Most importantly, he did not say no to this fight. Very interesting. Still, friends, not the fight that I wish to see. I want GSP and Connor in that ring for the biggest pay-per-view of all time, and then ultimately see the Canadian destroy the Irishman. But hey, that is just me wanting that to happen. As I've been, is that my new Undertaker and Sting match? Is that what I'm going to keep talking about now? Because we know that first one is not happening anymore. No more Undertaker and Sting. So now I can just sit here, wait, and hope, and preach about all the money left on the table for GSP and Connor. But it looks like, if at all, GSP could very well return. He's thinking about it if Khabib wants to return. But, I mean, Khabib retired after his father died from COVID. It's a very honorable and respectful man we're talking about here. So we shall see. We'll follow it along here on the show. And actually, we'll talk to Dave Meltzer about it in the very next segment. So stick with us. Meltzer's next. Don't forget, Britt Baker still to come as well in this first hour of Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio. Begin the day with a friendly voice. We chat wrestling on the radio every Sunday night. But if that's not enough for you, we put out content pretty much every day on our Patreon. Patreon.com/SNMEradio is your source for sports entertainment. Entertainment. We're a nice compliment to what you watch on TV. It's only $1 a week and you get content each and every day at patreon.com/SNMEradio. As I like to say, don't you dare miss it.
Here in Canada, we have several regionally specific phrases that arise when said vernacular is considered appropriate, i.e., the funny-sounding term, shinny. Shinny is a game of ice hockey played without the standard head-to-toe body armor. Instead, only skates, gloves, a hockey stick, and preferably a helmet is worn. And, if you're Mike Lackey, GLB's brewmaster, you wear the same pair of shinny pants day in and day out from December until March. A common code of ethics is employed during a game of shinny. For example, raising the puck off the ice is strongly discouraged for fear of being struck in the shins or worse, elsewhere. However, the most common practice takes place off the sheet of ice. Mandatory post-shinny beverages with your team, and boy does Great Lakes Brewery have the beer for that. Shinny Pants Session Stout, a beer inspired by Mr. Lackey's well-worn and well-stained pants.
Aw, man, you spilled beer on my shinny pants, bud.
Shinny Pants Session Stout. Drink it fresh, please.
It's time! It's time!
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider. Guess who's back? With Dave Meltzer on Sunday night's main event.
Welcome back to Sunday night's main event. Getting a little bit more in-depth on the news with the editor of the Wrestling Observer newsletter, Dave Meltzer, now on the line. Dave, we saw the big crossover last night. Kenny Omega pinning the Impact champion. Did it come as a surprise to you?
I can't say a shock, but I mean, I figured Kenny Omega had to win the match. I just didn't know who he was going to pin, and I kind of thought it wouldn't be Swan, but because I thought that they would want to go out with him and Swan, like, facing off, you know, and not having been pinned, but that was the direction that they went.
And we have another pay-per-view from Impact announced, but not till April. That seems like a lot of time to hold on to these two guys and this match.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That's why I was surprised. I figured that, like, if he was going to pin him, it would be, like, maybe in mid-March rather than in mid-January.
Do you think perhaps they do this on the AEW show?
The AEW pay-per-view?
Yeah.
It's possible. You know, I mean, I would think the AEW show should be Moxley, though.
Right,
though,
yeah.
You know, everything, just because of the way everything's been built up, I just think that people want to see the Moxley return more than they're going to want to see Rich Swann. So, I mean, but they could do it on AEW television. I mean, they could do that.
Hmm.
And that would be an interesting, You know, I almost would say that that would be probably better to do it on AEW television than to do it on Impact pay-per-view, because it'll mean so much more on AEW television.
Yeah, definitely get more eyeballs on it. And ultimately, you know, it may help drive people to Impact, which is really where Impact's coming from, the way they're benefiting here. There are still lots of questions from people, though, about, you know, what's the end game and what's the benefit of AEW doing this deal? And I've yet to see it.
Nothing yet. I mean, if the idea is to make Kenny Omega the larger-than-life star this year with three belts, you know, I could see that. Then there's that. And then also just to have a working relationship with somebody, they could, you know, there's also the Young Bucks against Gallows and Anderson. They could do that feud back and forth in both promotions because, like I mentioned before, the Young Bucks and the Hardys had this idea when it was Ring of Honor and Impact,
right,
to go back and forth and change the titles and things like that all year for a year-long program that didn't materialize because the Hardys ended up going to WWE. So they have that in their mind. I'm not sure that they're doing it here, but I know that that whole thing, like the prototype of what that could be, has already been worked out in their head because they already worked it out with the Hardys.
We also, at the end of Dynamite, it couldn't have been coincidental that we also had the Lucha Brothers in there who hold the AAA gold.
Right, right, right.
So there seems to be more to it. It's just very interesting to watch AEW and the way that they're mixing and matching things. And, hey, at least we can say, ooh, can't wait to see what happens next year. WWE making some announcements this week about WrestleMania. Now, I had been under the impression that this was going to happen on March the 28th. They're bumping it over to April 10th and 11th. Funny, last week we were asking you if this is going to be one or two nights. It is two nights, and Vince McMahon is getting his wish, Dave, at least partially. There's going to be fans in the stands here.
Yeah, I think that that's the idea, is to do two shows with, like, and I don't know the number. I mean, I know that the Tampa Bay Bucks have been going in with 15,000 people, a little over 14,000 per game. So, obviously, WWE would be able to get that. Maybe they'll even be able to get to more because, you know, I mean, Linda McMahon sprinkled a lot of money into Florida a couple of months ago, and Vince McMahon's got a lot of leverage on DeSantis. So he can kind of, you know, they have the feeling they can do whatever they want, within reason. They're not going to be filling the stadium, I don't think. I don't even know right now if they could, because you're talking about a lot of people reluctant to travel, and Europeans, you know, would have to, you know, they can come here, which I don't know if that's a good idea right now, but they can, but they would have to quarantine to go back.
Right. Same here.
So that makes it very difficult for European fans to come in for Mania this year. So, I mean, 15,000 is a number that I think that they can, for WrestleMania, that they can easily reach, and it won't be a problem. And obviously next year, you know, going to Dallas, they're looking at like the giant WrestleMania next year after 2 years of not the giant WrestleMania.
What was the rationale for bumping it back a little bit deeper in April?
I think the hope is the later that you'd go, the more fans you'll be able to put in, although that may not be the case. But, you know, the vaccine is starting to roll out, so in theory that might, you know, if you're vaccinated, you're probably going to be more comfortable going to a show like that.
Right.
So the later the better.
Well, let's stick with COVID here, because obviously it had a huge effect on WWE, more so than ever before, with Drew McIntyre testing positive. That happened earlier on Monday. They had to redo the entire show. They actually, I got the feeling, Dave, that they were actually backed into a corner and finally had to say COVID on their television, and had Drew do pretty much a PSA on TV saying, keep your distance, wear your masks, I've got it, anyone can get it. But this felt like the most reluctant thing on WWE's part.
Yeah, well, I mean, for the most part, that word has been banned from their television.
Mm-hmm.
So, you got it right. I mean, they didn't want to, but I think that the situation of Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton being billed as the main event and Drew McIntyre as the focal point of the show for months, that they just felt there was, if they're going to do it, this is the way to do it, and that's how they did it. But they probably felt they had no choice, because if they didn't say it and it got out, that would be hiding from it, even though a lot of people have had it, but it's not been, I mean, when people found, like, perhaps if nobody found out, they might, well, they still have to make a reason for him to not be there. So I think that it was just one of those things where it happened at the last minute. They'd already advertised something, and something big that they really couldn't get out of without explaining it. So that's kind of what happened.
Is there any worry about the legends from the previous week being on the show and being near Drew? I mean, he did do that vignette with Hulk Hogan where they were standing side by side.
Yeah. I mean, the feeling was is that because he had taken a test a couple days earlier after that Monday and he was clean, that the feeling is that he must have been clean that day and it came later. That's so I'm told no concern.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, because he's been tested a lot. I mean,
right.
You know, not so, yeah. I mean, he had just tested, like I said, he had tested negative just a couple of days before he tested positive.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody's tested a lot, especially now that, you know, the company knows a little bit more as to what they're dealing with and are dealing with it. But I just, Dave, you know, every week I'm now going to be seeing Ric Flair on my television, a man who nearly died, about a year and a bit ago?
It's a couple of, but still, yeah. It was a couple of years ago, but still, you're right though. In the sense of, you know, Rick's going to do it. I mean, that's just Rick, but I don't know that this is the wisest move to be bringing guys in. And you know, it goes for both companies. I don't know if it's the wisest move to bring Jake Roberts in,
but
you know, but they are. I mean, at the beginning they weren't. Now they are. You know, it's funny because it's like. There are way more cases. It's actually way more dangerous now than it was, you know, whatever it was 9 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
But 9 months ago, everybody was far more cautious than they are now, which is kind of weird when you think about it.
Yeah. All right, let's flip over to the world of MMA because some interesting things did happen. Khabib Nurmagomedov, Dana White making a statement on Saturday about Khabib seemed very general. And, you know, you just got to take everything that Dana says with a grain of salt. But what do you make on this? Is this just Dana throwing his name out there to try to keep him relevant, even though he's made that decision to retire?
I mean, the way he said it was just so weird because I just can't imagine, you know. I mean, his idea is that Khabib said if somebody really impresses him, you know, then he'll be interested in coming back. They didn't vacate the championship, which is weird because at the same time Khabib said he didn't want to hold up the division. But by, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, obviously Dana wants to make Khabib against McGregor. That's the money fight, and McGregor has to look impressive. I guess that maybe that's it, is that he may have told him, look at how much money you can make. And Khabib may have said, well, he's got to really impress me because, I've already beaten him once, and what do I have to gain? And what does he have to gain by facing McGregor again as far as legacy goes? And, I mean, yes, he has a ton of money to gain, but he's got enough money to live the rest of his life. So it's not – money's not really the issue in this case. I don't know why, you know, which, you know, we'll bring up, you know, it's not GSP because that's the one fight I think Khabib would take is GSP.
It's really interesting, and we've heard more, obviously, being here in Canada, you know, the media, when things like this come up, do find GSP, and there's a couple of hosts up here named Tim and Sid. They do a great job on Sportsnet. They had GSP on. They surprised him with audio that Stephen Brunt had interviewed Dana White, and Dana said, if Khabib says, I want to fight GSP, and that's the only person I'll come out of retirement for, then... Dana said, I got a lot of work to do. I got to make that conversation to make that fight happen, basically. And GSP didn't say no. That's the angle that he's thrown out here. I mean, that's a huge fight, Dave.
It's huge. And because Khabib has always wanted to fight him.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not as a grudge, but
no.
Just as a test, you know, because it's kind of like you're fighting for, you know, this all-time great status. Because a lot of people think George is the greatest of all time, at least the greatest drug-free, because I think if you don't include drug, if you factor out the drugs, I think more people would say John Jones, but John Jones has failed multiple drug tests.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see Khabib, I really could see Khabib wanting that, and he said it many times. GSP, I mean, GSP is about to turn 40.
Mm-hmm.
And I know GSP has said many times that he's not going to fight after 40, and we're getting right there. The other thing with GSP is that, you know, the longer it goes without him fighting, the less likely it is that he would fight. I think if this was done 3 years ago, but Khabib wasn't as big a star 3 years ago, but maybe when Khabib beat McGregor, like right after,
right,
they should have done that direction, and really they should have, because it would have been that giant, that one giant fight, you know. But they never did, you know, McGregor and GSP, which actually would have been
bigger.
You know, that would have been the biggest fight in the history of the company.
Would have. We've talked about that many times here on the show, you and I. Don't know why that money's all been left on the table, because that would have been incredible. The super baby face versus the super heel.
Yeah, yeah.
Dave, this week we saw Brian Pillman is going to be featured in the debut of Dark Side of the Ring. We know you've been interviewed for that. Along with that, you had mentioned you've been interviewed for another A&E series as well, WWE-focused, yet they talk to you, which is odd to hear WWE and you in the same sentence. What's going on with this one?
Well, you know, I was in the Andre one, so I think their thing is, if the directors, you know, want it, they're not going to nix it. So I think that's what it is, because, yeah, you know, I did 3 of the 8 documentaries that WWE is doing with A&E. It's not, WWE's not doing it. It's independent people, including you know, the people who did the Andre doc.
Right.
What I could tell you is the people who are doing the docs, at least some of them, you know, the ones that I was interviewed by, they very clearly listened to my audio and read observers on whether it was Brian Pillman or some of the others, Ultimate Warrior, you know, Brett, you know, they've read it and they've read it close. So they know that story. It's not like it's going to be some story that's, you know, kind of fictionalized. I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know how everything's going to end up, how the product's going to end up. We'll all see. But, I mean, they certainly know those aspects of the story. I mean, even some trivial stuff with Ultimate Warrior, you know, I mean, which really surprised me that they knew. I mean, stuff that's just, it's been there, but it's not even like really big, and they absolutely knew it. And you know, I was surprised. I mean, and very impressed, you know, with everyone involved.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Those are going to be airing on A&E. I guess we're hoping for the spring, something like that, we think.
I don't even know when it will be. It will not be before WrestleMania, I know that. I mean, could it be right after? Originally, the docs were going to start after WrestleMania from last year, and then they decided to hold them off because WrestleMania from last year wasn't a big show.
Right, yeah.
And so I think after WrestleMania may be the time frame, but I that's only because that's what the time frame was last year. I don't know.
Okay. You know, well, we'll keep an eye out and look for those. And audio and observer-wise, what's on the slate?
Whatever happens this week. I mean, Wednesday's going to be real big. I know that. You know, just because of, you know, I don't know how big the ratings are going to be, but, you know, I've got to think NXT is going to really try something big, because the one thing with WWE is that when a rating is really bad, like NXT rating was, they will make a move. So I expect that. And then WWE's got, the beginning of the season, in the sense of no more football. So it's time to start shooting angles. And WrestleMania, you know, obviously they've announced a date.
Yep.
And there's really, like, usually by this time we already kind of have WrestleMania figured, because they've already started the angles. And I guess perhaps Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan, but the way they're building that up is very confusing and everything. And so I don't even know if that's what it is. But, you know, aside from Edge and Randy Orton, there's really almost no, and that hasn't been built up either, but it can't be yet. But aside from that, I don't know that there's anything at WrestleMania that looks like this is a sure thing at this point.
Yeah, which is kind of bananas at this point, but we'll probably know
usually like December, we've got like the top 4 to 6 matches.
Yeah. Yeah, they're just out of sorts. All right, Dave, well, appreciate that, and look forward to reading, listening, and talking to you next week at this very same time.
Okay, have a great week.
You too. And, of course, you can get all of Dave's work at WrestlingObserver.com. Going to take a break, come on back, and we'll play a little turnbuckle trivia with the week that was as our topic. And don't forget, still in this first hour, Britt Baker right here on the show. The show is Sunday Night's Main Event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
If you like Dave Meltzer interview segments, you'll love WrestlingObserver.com. WrestlingObserver.com is your place for the latest pro wrestling and mixed martial arts news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Subscribers have access to hundreds of back issues of Dave's Wrestling Observer newsletter, plus daily podcasts including a library of over 9,000 shows dating back to 2005. Check it out today, WrestlingObserver.com.
Right now, you're listening to Sunday Night's Main Event, and you're hearing this ad. Yep, it's a commercial, and it could be your commercial. We've got sponsorship packages available to suit any budget, so I could be talking about what you're selling. For more information, email me, jason@snmeradio.com. Get the message out about your product or service to thousands of listeners via TSN Radio and around the world with our podcast. It all starts with an email to jason@snmeradio.com.
It's time for everyone's favorite game show.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Go one-on-one and get it done. Sunday Night's Main Event presents...
Everybody hands go up.
Turnbuckle Trivia.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And they stay there.
Turnbuckle Trivia time here on Sunday Night's Main Event. And we are into our second matchup of the second round of Turnbuckle Trivia. And I will let everybody know, due to the WWE changing the WrestleMania schedule, I'm going to be revamping a little of what's going on with Turnbuckle Trivia. Kind of works out, because there were going to be a couple weeks where we were going to have two matches on one night, and that might not be the case anymore. But I'll work on that right now there. Our focus is the week that was. That is our topic for the two gentlemen on the line. First of all, we have placing second in the qualifying round, Paul from Waterdown. Paul, when you played, I was sure you were going to be first, but we had... Did you listen to the whole thing? Did you hear your competition, who plays first?
I listened to most of it, yeah, and I just got squeaked out there.
Yeah, you just got squeaked out by Scott with that controversial question. But you stand very well. You play second. You're up against, though, a very valid competitor. He's known as the T-shirt collector. That's the name I'm giving you, Sean. Now, there are no T-shirts. There is a hoodie involved in the prize for the Turnbuckle Trivia Tournament this year. So maybe you can add to your collection. But you got to topple Sean. You got to get this upset. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so here we go, gentlemen. Paul and Sean. Paul, your player won 5 questions each. First question, Paul. Which wrestler was removed from the Impact Hard to Kill pay-per-view due to injury? Or due to...
Alex Shelley.
Yeah, okay, it was due to not being able to travel. I had injury. Correct answer is Alex Shelley. Very good. Even my non-specific question, you still got it right. Very good, Paul. Sean, your question. Who took Alex Shelley's place in that 6-man tag?
Moose.
Moose is correct. Who, much to Dan Levransky's chagrin, I was saying earlier, had a great match. So good on Moose.
Yeah, I watched it last night.
Yeah, not bad, right? Like, that's Moose's best performance maybe ever? Huh? Maybe? All right. Back to you, Paul. What T-shirt was Triple H wearing on Monday?
Oh.
Oh, boy.
Say a Motorhead T-shirt.
That is correct, Paul. Is that a guess?
Yeah, 100%.
That he was wearing a gold Motorhead T-shirt on Monday. I highlighted in the midweek markout, so very good on making that guess. Hey, Sean, over to you. When Miz and Morrison interrupted the backstage promo with Keith Lee and Sheamus on Raw on Monday, what movie was referenced?
Oh, I noticed.
This is right up your alley. You're a movie guy. Time is ticking.
I remember the reference, but I don't remember the reference.
You're buzzed out, Sean. The correct answer is Dumb and Dumber was referenced. A 25-year-old movie, Dumb and Dumber. Okay, Paul, back to you. On Dynamite, what rock and roll frontman did Chris Jericho reference in the Inner Circle New Year's Resolution segment?
Sammy Hagar.
Sammy Hagar, which was amazing. What a fun reference. And Sammy Guevara not getting it was great. Sean, to you, when Jade Cargill was invited into the waiting room, what female performer confronted her on behalf of Brandi Rhodes?
Take a guess. One of the same name as Chocolate Cake. Red Velvet.
The best answer. Yes, I'll give it to you. Red Velvet. You made it there. The same name as Chocolate Cake. Yes, a Red Velvet cake interrupted Jade. I'll give that to you. Very good, Sean. All right, Paul, to you. Who is teaming with Shotzi Blackheart in the Women's Dusty Classic?
Ember Moon.
Ember Moon is correct. Hey, Sean, in the Men's Dusty Classic, the Rascals made their debut under what name?
M2M?
No, that is incorrect. It is MSK was the correct answer. And that means, by the math of it, a perfect score for Paul with 4. Sean, you only have 2. And that means congratulations. The number 2 seed, Paul, you continue on in the tournament.
Awesome.
Next week, we have seed number 3. That is Jay from North Bay playing against seed number 14, Shane from the UK. Once again, the week that was trivia is what we will be doing. And keep in mind, the grand prize for this, and I don't know if I mentioned it, Pure Dynamite, the autobiography of the Dynamite Kid, along with that, a hoodie from our good friends at ballergear.ca, which is Sunday night's main event. And getting the champ is here written on the back. Bret Hart. A signed DVD from Bret Hart, hoping to also toss in some prizes from Great Lakes Brewery and the High Street Beard Company as well. So you can tame that mane if you got one. If not, great gift to give away to someone who does have a beard. Coming up next right here on this show, though, we are going to chat with Britt Baker. So stay with us. Sunday night's main event on TSN Radio.
I'm Manny Arsenal, and I'm with Baller Gear.
Hi, I'm Chad Jeter, and I'm with Baller Gear.
I'm Ricky Collins Jr., and I'm with Baller Gear.
Baller Gear is the official home for the CG brand. 39 Sack, Root Demons, Shaq One, Manny Show, Front Happy Collections, and more. We're also the newest home for the official tees from SNME Radio. Check out the selection of tees today at ballergear.ca.
I'm Boris Aguilar.
And I'm Matt Ederer.
Together, we're the Young Guns.
I would like to acknowledge the fact that we are in our 30s.
Anyways, as winners of the Sunday Night's Main Event Patreon Podcast Contest, we now have a weekly show.
That show is called NXT Talk, where we talk about NXT.
The show drops every Thursday, and the only way you can listen is if you're a patron. So if you aren't, you can sign up at patreon.com/SNME Radio.
And remember, we're the Young Guns.
And the show is NXT Talk.
And Donnie told me very clearly that a match between Thunder Rosa and Britt Baker is a huge deal for AEW. So that is why you get to face me in Dynamite February 3rd.
What? No! What? Tony, you said I didn't have to wrestle her! What? No! 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 Not happening! No, we're going to the beach. We're not wrestling her. No!
I've been waiting a long time for this moment to come. I'm destined for anything at all.
A little bit of the chaos that ensued on this week's Waiting Room segment, the debut of the Waiting Room segment on AEW Dynamite. This is a segment that is hosted by Britt Baker, and in case you didn't know, it's been done quite a few times on AEW Dark. Actually, if you get the chance, go and find the Frankie Kazarian, Chris Daniels angle. I've talked about it on this show a couple times. It was done on the Waiting Room, and is actually what the company's doing right now with Daniels and Kazarian not losing. If they lose, they break up. That whole thing was set up on the Waiting Room, and that's really the value of having one of these segments on your show, much like the Piper's Pit of the world, if you remember back, the whole angle from WrestleMania 3 was set up on Piper's Pit. We all remember Andre grabbing Hogan, the crucifix hitting his chest. You get a little bit of blood, all of that on Piper's Pit. Well, the modern version of this, complete with a set, is the Waiting Room. The host of that is my next guest, Dr. Britt Baker. Now, I do want to let you guys know this interview was conducted on Tuesday, so it was the day before the Waiting Room aired on AEW Dynamite. So I hadn't seen it before doing the interview, but it really didn't matter because the time that I had with Britt was about 15 minutes or so. And what I wanted to talk about is the development of this dentist character. You know, Britt Baker was someone when AEW started, she was the baby face, the golden baby face of the women's division. She's a dentist. She's also a wrestler, yada, yada, yada. And the whole division was really built around Britt Baker. Well, we saw how that didn't quite work in year one. And then you get around to a heel turn. And this past year, Britt Baker is on all of our best of lists. What a change. What an incredible improvement. And that's what I wanted to talk about. So here is my interview with AEW's dentist, Dr. Britt Baker. Britt Baker. Welcome to Sunday Night's Main Event.
Thank you. It's Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, but thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Lovely. I shall refer to you as doctor. My apologies as we
go. It's all good. It's all good.
So, Britt, I mean, it's weird to say that 2020 has been a great year because of all the things that have gone on. But for you, despite an injury, I mean, it has been. As many wrestling fans had you on their best of 2020 list. Your name popped up repeatedly. But before we talk about the heel character and the turn, which we adore, I want to go back to the outset of AEW. I mean, you were positioned as the face of the AEW women's division in a babyface role. Looking back now, why do you think that role didn't connect with fans like your current one?
I think because I'm probably not a babyface deep down. No, I think there was just a lot of demons at once, and that's being a dentist and a professional wrestler is super inspiring and it's super successful. I have two plan A careers, but not everybody has that. So not everybody wants to hear that every second of the day. I blame JR with full-blown respect, JR. He really screwed me because he said on every single freaking episode of Dynamite that I was a dentist 100 times. To the point that it just wasn't cool anymore. And it's not my fault. Certainly not my fault. So it's got to be JR's.
So it's JR's fault. Okay. So when it, you know, when you guys saw the fact that maybe it wasn't connecting as the intention was, who made the call to say, you know what, let's flip the script here. Let's make Britt a heel. Who made that call? And then how did you feel about it when you first heard about it?
That was Kenny Omega. Kenny the Cleaner had the idea of turning me heel. And I remember I was in the ring one day just training. He came up and talked to me about it. He's like, what do you think about being a heel? We don't really have any heels and, you know, maybe this would work. And I just remember saying, you know, I'm down to do anything and I will always try anything. But at that point in my wrestling career, I had never been a heel once in my life. So much like my, you know, whole experience with AEW, I felt like I was just kind of getting thrown into the fire. Let's go. Let's see if it works. And it did.
Was there anyone that you looked to in the past for inspiration? Because I remember years ago watching Trish Stratus as an amazing baby face, and then they flipped her heel. And I was like, no, not a chance. Trish is too nice to be a heel. But she was amazing at it, as have you been throughout your run so far. So is there anyone that you look to?
But absolutely, I can't even tell you how much of what I do now is drawn from Chris Jericho and WCW with the role model, the conspiracy victim. He's just fantastic in the way he's been able to just change and elevate himself over and over and over again over all these years. It's super inspiring and it's amazing. Actually, he's a genius and he really is the GOAT. And I'll always look to him for advice, even if I have six more changes in my professional wrestling career.
So you already mentioned JR and how you quote unquote blame him for mentioning doctor, dentist all over, right? But when it came to positioning you in the heel role, it was really Tony Schiavone that you found this amazing chemistry with. Was that something that developed organically, or was Tony specifically the choice to be there with you at all times to help propel this character?
So Tony is kind of the hand chosen guy to do all the live interviews, regardless the in ring interviews or the interviews at the top of the ramp. But this was very much organic. Tony and I are very close friends. We talk all the time. We have so much fun doing what we do. I can't even put into words just how easy it is for us to work together. We just click. It's always the best. Like, we get one take, one and done, and we just really just freeball off each other. Very, very rarely do we have bullet points or scripts or anything that we need to follow, because we can just sit in a room and talk for an hour and it's, you know, grade A high quality content, obviously.
You guys do a great job together. I mean, your back and forth is excellent, but your act, and I'm just fascinated with your act because it's so strong and it's come about so quickly. And another part of that is someone that stands by your side all the time. Now, fans knew her as Rebel and Impact. You call her Reba, which is a great start to begin with. Again, was that organic, or was it always that Reba was going to be part of your act in order to compliment you?
That's another thing, completely organic. When the pandemic first started, we had to do a lot of the vignettes at home, like in our hometowns. And I have the dental office in Orlando. And Tony Khan had the idea to start doing the rules of being a role model vignette. So we were filming in my dental office, and Rebel, who was a makeup artist for AEW at the time, she still is, also lived in Orlando. So she was on the set to do my hair and makeup. But then it was actually Cody that wrote her in to the script a little bit, like kind of, hey, let's play around with her. Let's call her Reba. It was Cody's idea. And from there, it just took off. The first time we worked together, it was just way too good. And it was so much fun. It's very much like how it is with Tony Schiavone. We just click. She's one of my very good friends here in Orlando. And she's going to be around for a long time.
I love it. You guys play so well off each other. And, you know, there's something to be said to have a good duo together and someone that you just have stuff to bounce off on screen. And you guys are great. So, I mean, from there, now all of a sudden, there's The Waiting Room. This is something that debuts on Dynamite this week. But you've been doing these on AEW Dark for a while now. It's such a throwback to a Piper's Pit or Flower Shop or Snake Pit. Was this something that you proposed, or who came to you with it?
Cody came to me with it, actually, and Cody and Tony very heavily involved with the success it's had so far on Dark. Now we kind of have a little, they gave us the free reins to run with it, hence why you'll see Cody on The Waiting Room this week, because he's kind of hands off now. It's my project, it's my baby to work with. But Tony is just so fabulous with making sure every single thing that has the logo AEW on it is completely, utterly his project, and he will make sure that you have all the creative control in the world, but it's still his. So he'll oversee and make sure that it's going to be a success. And if it's not a success, how can we make it a success?
So for a segment like this that you are hosting and have the responsibility for, how much is you and how much is Cody? Like, is it an organic process where you guys sit down together to work out a segment, or do you know a guest and then try to build some sort of story around it? Or I'm just wondering how it works, how everything is being put together.
So when we first started, I obviously met with Cody and Tony to make sure we had the vision down. We're all on the same page, what we wanted to do. And essentially it's just a great platform to get other storylines over, to get people who maybe don't get to talk as much on Dynamite or on Dark, give them the mic. Let's, you know, see what they can do. Cody, as of now, has very little to no involvement in it, because you know once Cody Rhodes gets involved, it turns into a Cody Rhodes project, and I'm sick of that. So now it's my baby, and me and Reba will be in the waiting room this week.
So let's talk in-ring. I mean, you've been wrestling for, I believe, just over 6 years or so, right? Which is still relatively early in a career, but we are in the midst of a pandemic, and you can't get out there and do a lot of independent shows at this time. So what's AEW's mentality to keep their performers safe, but also in shape and, you know, get you more ring time?
So AEW Dark is definitely an awesome platform for wrestlers to be able to get some practice, get some training in, try some new stuff. And it's on our YouTube channel. But for me, there's a ring very close to me in Orlando that I try to get in as much as possible. Just me, my boyfriend, a couple of my friends. It's very, you know, COVID friendly environment where everybody I train with is tested. And also we have the women especially have training every week with Dustin Rhodes when we get to Jacksonville. So it's been different, but at the same time, I think some people like myself, we have even more time to train right now because we're not traveling so much. I'm not working as much in the dental office. So it's kind of been a blessing in disguise for that side of that flip side of the coin. But obviously at the end of the day, we want to get back to the arenas. We want to get back to the fans because that's the heart and soul of professional wrestling.
Cool. And finally, before we go, looking ahead, we're into a new year. What does Britt Baker want to do in 2021? What is the program you want to work? Is it all about the gold?
It is. Yes. Dr. Britt Baker, women's champion. That's it. It's pretty easy. One sentence, one and done.
Well, I see it happening in 2021. So good luck on that, Britt. And thanks for taking time out to chat with us today.
Thank you so much.
My thanks to Britt Baker for taking time out and chatting with us this week. If you'd like to hear that entire interview, the extended version is available on the extended version of this show, which is on our Patreon. Sign up at patreon.com/SNMEradio. And we will be talking a lot about the first edition of The Waiting Room, which debuted on AEW Dynamite. Once again, not the first edition, just the first edition on Dynamite. We'll be talking about that next hour as I'm joined by my co-host from the Midweek Markout, Mark Andrada, and we'll go through everything that happened this week in wrestling TV. So stick around for that. It is next. Mark Andrada joins me for a whole nother hour right here on Sunday Night's Main Event on TSN Radio.
Only when light is combined with the dark is the universe perfect and complete. Like a hypnotizing drumbeat heard deep within the swampy shores, a bubbling kettle brews. She engages your spirit, sending ripples across the surface of your soul. Allow her sacred science and divine state of consciousness to unveil your contact point toward complete clarity. Cosmically grounded, she is all at once every element, fueling the nectar of your memory, drip by velvety drip. Ascending from the mist, Haze Mama breaks imbalance while granting an alternative perception, otherwise unavailable, unless by virtue of her wondrous alchemy. Shh. Haze Mama New England IPA, available year-round for only $3.50. Great Lakes, brewed for you, Ontario.
Now with Moose removed, once again we go back to Omega and Swan! V-Trigger, I think Swan is out on his feet.
One winged angel.
Oh, that's it. 1, 2, 3. In the arms
of the angel. Welcome back to Sunday Night's Main Event. We are getting into hour two, and for this hour, I am joined by a gentleman that I normally get to chat with on Tuesday mornings for our midweek markup, where we talk about Raw, and what a repetitive Raw that was. But we'll get to it. You conveniently skipped it this week, Mark Andrada.
Oh, I watched it. We just didn't talk about it.
Oh, boy. Definitely skippable, but I didn't want to start there today. Instead, if there's one thing I know about you in the world of COVID, Mark, it is that you love an event, do you not?
I do. I do love an event. Any excuse to feel like I'm doing something.
Yep.
Anything. I'll order pizza and or, you know, whatever takeout that I feel like that day. And to have a special event, a wrestling special event, a UFC or MMA special event, I'm very pleased about it.
Well, last night was an Impact Wrestling event. Hard to Kill. And you did check this on out. And, you know, to Impact's credit, they made some changes with their production, which is always one of the things that I'm hypercritical of Impact. They actually and finally added some crowd ambiance, which is so long overdue.
Absolutely. How long can you keep making the same mistake while nobody else is making that same mistake, but still delivering the same business that you deliver? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, WWE has piped in crowd noise and added some people to ringside. AEW was doing it first. I mean, how could you look at those and say, oh, that's not the way to go? I'm just going to do my own thing where people wrestle in dead silence.
Yeah, I think Ring of Honor is still doing that as well. But I think by Impact doing this, they do take a bit of a step up. Before we get into what happened with Kenny Omega appearing there, what did you think of the new commentary team? We have Matt Stryker and D'Lo Brown now. This is not only for last night. This is the new commentary team for Impact Wrestling.
I think I could get used to D'Lo Brown. I enjoyed his performance last night. Matt Stryker, it's still touch and go for me on Matt Stryker, but D'Lo Brown, I feel like this is the first time I've heard him on commentary, and I enjoyed him.
Matt Stryker is really one of those classic stories where I remember when he first became a commentator and how excellent he was. And he's the classic story if you go through WWE, the Corey Graves scenario that we're currently seeing, where you become a parody of yourself and you're not left alone just to do your thing, which you were hired for because you're innately good at it.
Right, but what's the excuse now? Because he's not being told what to say,
yeah.
Now, right?
Yeah.
He is left to his own devices, and it feels like I'm just unsure sometimes when he's talking.
Yep. When it came to the main event last night, I was very, very sure, and I don't remember if I spoke to Lavransky about this last week on the air or off the air, but I was sure we were going to get a Young Bucks run-in last night, and we did not. Instead, it's Kenny Omega pinning Rich Swann, definitely setting up a title match down the line. I just don't know if they can wait 3 months to do it on their next pay-per-view. But what did you think of the main last night with the AEW integration?
I didn't mind it. I mean, you know, I think it was a great choice to make Kenny Omega pin Rich Swann. It really leads me to believe that maybe he's just going to pin him in the future, right? Like, we are going to see this belt collector thing that we're hoping for.
It's interesting, though, because wouldn't traditional booking tell you that in a match like this, when you have down the line, you want person A to win. That means in the tag match, person B is going to get the win. So looking at classic booking, shouldn't Swann have pinned Omega in this match?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I think the idea is to just make Kenny Omega stronger and stronger and stronger. And I don't mind that one bit. So if Kenny Omega just doesn't stop winning, I'm into it.
And that, I'm just wondering if they are, do you think they'll be able to hang on for 3 months here? I mean, the next pay-per-view that they announced isn't till April.
I couldn't see why not. It's not like I watch Impact every week.
Well, the goal is to get you to do that, though. And I don't know how many fans are going to be tuning into Impact each week. And if they are, I mean, all credit to them if they've managed to make this work. I mean, really credit to AEW. But they might just be picking and choosing segments. But that's more than fans used to be doing. I mean, Impact, this is definitely helping them. There's no doubt that this pay-per-view will be more recognized than anything else they've done recently.
Sure. I mean, I don't have a problem with Kenny Omega just sort of appearing here and there and me not needing to watch Impact until the next big event.
Right, right.
And I think that Impact's hardcore Impact fans are going to watch because they like Impact. And people who like AEW and people who are watching to see Kenny Omega don't have to make that commitment. They can just watch the next big event, which is, you know, where my heart would tend to go anyway.
What did you think about what happened on this week's AEW? I mean, we saw the, I guess, kind of invasion. You know, you had the Good Brothers invade. And at the end of Impact this week, the Good Brothers are in the ring. They're the Impact champions. The Bucks are in the ring. They're the AEW champions. And the Lucha Brothers run in. They're the AAA champions. That can't be a coincidence.
I loved it. So much. Isn't this exactly what people have wanted for a long time? And maybe they didn't even know that they wanted it. Like, remember when ECW was showing up to Monday Night Raw?
Yep.
And anytime a belt shows up on another program, you're like, oh, wait a minute. What's going on here? That intrigue, I think people have wanted for a long, long time. And now finally somebody is giving it to us without any kind of like, no, our brand must be dominant all the time. It's all three of these champions are in the ring. I'm fascinated by it. I think it's great. I only want to see more of this.
I thought it was a good end to the show. I was curious as to why it took Kenny and the Good Brothers so long to finish off that match, though. I thought that could have been shortened down considering they're supposed to be looked at as like this dominant faction, and it took them a long time to put away three guys.
I didn't mind it. More time to see these guys in the ring, especially if you're an AEW fan and maybe you haven't seen the Good Brothers in a long time, perhaps since they were in WWE. It gives us a chance to see them again, gives us a chance to see their moves, to see them in the ring, to get to, you know, to reintroduce us to them if you haven't been watching Impact.
I have to say, though, I mean, I absolutely loved the Don Callis introduction when he builds them all up, and I don't know how I didn't see this coming when he built up what seemed to be the Young Bucks and then threw it to the Good Brothers. It was, again, just another magical moment watching wrestling that Don Callis has given us.
Yeah, yeah. Where do you think this is going? Is this going to go to a program with the Bucks against the Good Brothers, against the Lucha Brothers?
I think so. I think that that's the match that we are eventually going to see, those three teams in the ring at once. The interesting thing will be is, like, it does, is that a non-title, or are you going to have a match where all the titles are on the line somehow? Do they have that? Does AEW have the control to be able to have a long-term plan and actually put all of those titles on one team? And is it the Good Brothers, and is Kenny going to collect all the other belts too?
Is it the Good Brothers or is it the Bucks?
Right.
I feel, if it was my choice, I feel like I would choose the Bucks for this position because they've done it before, and I'd like to see them do it again.
As far as tag teams go, there's more to this, and I'm not even talking about NXT. We'll get to two tag team tournaments running at the same time in NXT a little bit later in the show. By the way, right now I'm joined by Mark Andrada here on Sunday Night's Main Event, talking about the week that was in pro wrestling. But tag teams also seem to be the focus in AEW around the Inner Circle. We have Santana and Ortiz pairing off against Jericho and MJF, pairing off against the greatest name of a tag team since, oh, I don't know when, Sammy Hagar. Which I thought that segment was absolutely wonderful. The reference to Sammy Hagar, and even better, Sammy Guevara not knowing who it is because he's so young. It makes total sense.
Yeah, I actually didn't understand this. Who is Sammy Hagar? I don't get that reference.
Come on.
I think I might be too young for that.
You're a guy. No, get out of here, Andrada. Get out of here. Get out of here.
I don't know.
All right.
I'm holding firm.
Yeah. Where is Wardlow in this scenario?
We don't. Wardlow can be the, you know, his own guy. He's the one man gang of the Inner Circle. He's just going to be on his own, sort of a lone ranger out there fighting.
Should he ref this? Should he ref this and also assist Jericho and MJF winning this match?
Or maybe he doesn't assist and it turns into a problem with him and Jericho.
I mean, it could very well be that way, and MJF and him as well. Because they had been, remember back when they were teasing the tension with MJF and Wardlow? And we really haven't seen any of that as they rolled into this segment. But putting him as the referee, it would kind of be funny because he'll definitely have some sort of confrontation with Jake Hager.
Yeah, I miss Hager and Wardlow just staring at each other all the time. I don't think I was done with that joke. It really made me laugh. And it's still, even just thinking about it now, I kind of want to see it again.
Let's talk a bit about the waiting room. This is a segment. Now, I made it clear that I had not seen the segment before doing the Britt Baker interview, which we just aired. Okay, so we both work in the world of comedy as well as talking about wrestling. This is supposed to be a bit of a comedic segment. I've seen these on Dark, and I thought they were very good segments. I really thought this one, though, was a case of too much in one segment. They squashed three different angles into this segment, like in one waiting room. Too much to me.
Yeah, I agree. It was disjointed. I didn't understand what was happening at one point. When they cut to the footage from, was that just last week, when a Britt Baker attacked Thunder Rosa?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden Thunder Rosa was on the screen and cutting a promo. Yeah. And then before that,
cutting
we
a promo
had,
in her home, yeah.
Yeah, and before that we had, you know, Cody not be interviewed, and then Jade shows up, and then Red Velvet showing up to take Brandy's place, I think is just a dreadful mistake. She'll always just be known as Mini Brandy.
Yeah, see, while I'm not particularly interested in that storyline, it all made sense to me until they cut away.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Yep. Like that was where they lost me. I said, wait, what's happening? I actually was confused. I did not understand what was going on. You know, a simple sort of maybe static on the screen to make it look like Thunder Rosa was taking over the broadcast.
Sure.
Would have explained so much more to me. But, you know, this is where AEW brags about not having writers, and that's great. But maybe somebody somewhere just to sort of look things over and go, for clarity's sake, maybe we should do this one thing or fix this here. Tweak something here and there, like a TV writer who could see this kind of mistake coming, because I was confused. And then I saw Thunder Rosa, and I love Thunder Rosa. So I don't want to be confused when Thunder Rosa comes on. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know what's happening, and I want to be excited about it.
Yeah, it may even be, you know, Cody has a lot going on. And Britt said in the interview that, you know, Cody is kind of in charge of this and is someone that set this segment up and thought it would be good. And I have no doubts. I mean, when I was talking, doing my intro for Britt on the show today, I talked about how important these little sidebars these little vignettes can be. Because if you look back, like Mark, like WrestleMania 3 was set up in Piper's Pit. So yes. There is definitely a place for these, but you're right. It has to be controlled. And, you know, maybe there's a writer or maybe there's like, because Vince Russo could have been considered a writer. But what he had was a competent and coherent Vince McMahon editing the ideas that he used to have. And I got a feeling someone just needs to take control of this and go, all right, this segment's going to happen. And it's pushing forth this angle. Even if we look back to what happened on AEW Dark, when there was the angle with Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian, that was very much set up to just push that angle forward, and it had a clear and concise message.
Right. I want to be clear. When I'm saying that they could use a writer, at no point do I think they need a writer for creative. I think what I'm saying is the writer needs to be there to look at structure, to look at, you know, how the show is breaking down. I don't need them to write promos for people. I don't need them to come up with angles. I need them to look at something and say, cutting from the waiting room to footage from last week without any kind of, you know, preamble or any kind of introduction doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So we need to fill that gap so that there is logic in terms of, like, we need a television writer to do that. I'm not interested in them, you know, coming up with, you know, Orange Cassidy has to, you know, carry a glass of orange juice all the time or something crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need them for creative. I need them for structure.
Before we go to break here, finally, the main event of Dynamite this week was Darby Allin being a ragdoll for Brian Cage. That spot where Cage picked up Darby Allin and threw him 10 feet out of a ring over a guardrail onto a table was insane. Yeah. I mean, it worked out, but that was just a body flying through the air.
Yeah. I mean, that's Darby's vibe, right? That's what he likes. It was wild to see that. And yeah, I mean, I really enjoyed this for what it was. And Sting showing up at the end, I'm always happy to see Sting. I'm still, though, it has not worn off for me. Every time Sting comes out, I smile and I nod my head. I'm like, yeah, here we go. I like this.
What do you do here, though? Do you allow Sting? Because, you know, at some point, I think Sting does want to step into the ring once again. I don't think he liked the way he went out in WWE. And would you put Sting in a tag match beside Darby against this faction? Or would you wait for down the line when eventually Cody's a heel and Sting takes on Cody? I just really feel that match is going to happen to say goodbye to wrestling for Sting, fighting against Dusty's son.
I can't answer this question because I don't know Sting's health.
Right.
And I don't know how much they're going to protect the guy. Listen, if he's going to be healthy and he's fine and he's going to be protected, and if he doesn't even need to be protected perhaps that much, then, man, wrestle all you like. I'm happy to see it. But if I'm going to sit at home and worry about this guy's health,
yeah.
I mean, nobody wants to see that. The guy's a legend. Nobody wants to see him at risk. Nobody. So, you know, if he's got a clean bill of health and they think that, you know, he's going to be in a tag match where he's protected, I'm fine with that. I trust this company's ability to tell a good story. If this was WWE and you know, you were asking me the same question, number one, I'd be worried for his health.
Yeah. Yeah.
Number two.
Well, we've already seen that. I mean, I very rarely do I have moments, because we watch so much wrestling, do I have moments that I remember? But I remember Sting trying to run the ropes and dropping to a knee and being unable to, and just sitting there going, Oh no. And that, of course, is the match with Seth Rollins after he took the buckle bomb. Previous to that, it was a delight to watch that match after the garbage that he had already gone through in WWE at WrestleMania. Like, it seemed like he had caught stride there, yet being very much in his senior years. But I don't know if you could have him work a match, Mark, where I'm not sitting here with that memory in my head going, oh, is something going to happen?
Right, right. You're right. There is that memory of what happened. I don't know. I mean, I have faith that AEW can tell a good story. So if they can make me forget about that moment, because the only way that they'll be able to do that as well is if he's fine.
Yeah.
If he performs well in a short match and builds that confidence, I guess, with the audience or whatever, then I think it'll be fine.
All right.
Fine.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Mark, we did not get to talk about Raw this week, but I'm going to force you to talk about Raw in the next segment. We will go there and work our way through the WWE and the week that was. When we come back, it's Sunday night's main event. You're listening to it on TSN Radio.
I thought I was out.
'Cause I gotta have faith. Thanks for listening to the free version of Sunday Night's Main Event. Would be lovely if you drop us a rating in your podcatcher, iTunes, etc. And along with that, if you want a commercial-free version of this show that is also extended and it comes out early, it's like Sunday afternoon's main event, then you can sign up to our Patreon, patreon.com/SNMEradio. We may be on the radio, however, this is how the show is actually supported. It's all through you guys and the Patreon. Patreon.com/SNMEradio. Thank you.